This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
It is hour number two of Wake Up Call. Glad you can join us. PQ Tech CollegeFootballNews.com is going to join us in 35 minutes. And we're going to get the lowdown on Texas, Oklahoma, but a lot of other things going on in college football. There's just reshaping the landscape of the sport. We'll get his take on all of it because it has been an incredible season of change. Just this offseason alone, we've had so much change and potential change coming. But you know what I want to start this hour with? I want to give kudos to a game you might have missed, especially if you're on the East Coast, because, I mean, you had to get up in the morning. The Seattle Mariners beat the Houston Astros last night 11-8. They trailed 7-1 in the top of the fourth, 7-0 in the top of the fourth inning, and came back to win 11-8, getting a grand slam from Dave Moore, his first career grand slam in the eighth inning, giving them the lead for good. They basically outscored Houston from that point 11-1. This is why I would make a terrible baseball manager. So all you baseball managers out there, baseball GMs, do not hire me to run your baseball team because, and by the way, there could be a team in Nashville in the next time, so don't hire me to be a manager, because if I was down 7-1 in the fourth inning, I would say to my team, well, we can't win them all, guys, so let's just get out of here and all get home early and we'll go get them tomorrow. I wouldn't have been like, you know what, if we just get three here, maybe three next inning, maybe one in the sixth, maybe one of you lugs will hit a grand slam in the eighth and we'll get away with a win here. Not only will we win, we'll win by three. That wouldn't come from me. That had to come from a very special baseball person that would know that that possibility existed. Not me. I would be like, guys, just swing at anything and let's get the hell out of here. Congratulations to Seattle. Never give up on your dreams. Down 7-1, they probably said, what the heck? Let's just try to win this thing and see what happens. And the guy goes, you know what I think I'll do? Hit a grand slam for the first time in my career. And everybody said, you go do that. And he did. And Seattle won the game. Congratulations, Seattle Mariners, last night. All right, we'll continue. More on the Olympic Games. Simone Biles is out, saying it's injury related, not saying it's injury related. That's a big story. We'll get to that coming up next, as well as some more from the NFL as training camps opening up or reporting today around the league. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with Wake Up Call. By the way, I really like the bumper music. I know that's kind of a trivial thing, but you guys did a good job picking out some upbeat music tunes.
I take a lot of pride in the bumper music, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Oh, I tend to hear the same ones over and over again, so I like a little change up when you guys fill in.
There you go.
All right, so Simone Biles is out of the team gymnastics. They don't know why. There's been tons of reports of injury. Then it was mental health. Then it was personal issue. Nobody knows why. And you know what? Let's just let this slow down a little bit and then get an official statement as to why before everybody starts speculating and starting reading lips when she's talking to her trainer. I mean, Simone Biles, this, let her be able to explain without, I mean, people are just speculating too fast, way, way, way too fast. They'll come out and say, they'll say something. You don't need to know right away. Right. But yeah, you know, that is too bad. Again, she's one of the best gymnasts in the world. It's been hard for me to get into these Olympics because of the time difference. I don't know what's live, what's not live, what I'm watching. I you know, the competition. I like, to me, the Olympics is, I like when they say, hey, this race is for the medal. It's not a heat. It's not a preliminary. It's for the medal. Boom, go. 100 meter breaststroke, 200 meter whatever, 400 meter relay, whatever it is. I just go, if this is for a medal, then I'm in. It's like watching beach volleyball the other day. It was like awesome, but it was like, well, what is, oh, okay, this is like a round robin pool play kind of thing. So I like that swimmer from Alaska winning the gold. That was awesome. Although the gold medal ceremonies, the medal ceremonies are just, they make them put them on themselves because of COVID, which is, you know, I guess you have to, but man, it's taking, what, you know, it's like, why don't you just make them play the national anthems themselves? Like, yeah, while you're walking by the podium, if you could just hit play on that record, just select your country on the screen and press play for us. That'd be great. It's kind of weak. They got to wear masks. They do get to take the masks off to get a photo so they can have a moment, a photographic moment of having a gold medal. I mean, winning a gold medal is winning a gold medal. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But winning a gold medal in these games has got to be like, man, it's not what I envisioned when I was all those years watching the Olympics growing up as a kid, dreaming of one day representing my country and with a gold. And it's not that at all. It's more like a, yeah, okay, you guys get up on the thing and here you go. You guys wouldn't mind putting them on yourselves and let's get out of here. Yeah, it's too bad. And it is too bad. No crowds. You know, no crowds. But I have to admit, they are doing some cool stuff. Like that Alaskan girl, Lydia Jacoby, that won the gold medal. It was pretty cool that they went to, like, her high school was having a watch party and they were all jumping up and down and celebrating. That was pretty cool. But it would have been better if everybody who she wanted to be there was there celebrating and dancing in the stands.
How many people could have been in that graduating class, though? A dozen?
Oh, yeah, you're right. In Seward, Alaska? I don't know if Seward, Alaska is a big area. Probably not. What if it's a big area and it's like one high school? They're like, yeah, well, look, here's the deal. It may be taking you 20 miles to get there, but we only have one high school. So live anywhere you want in this area, but
population,
you're all going to the same school.
2,773 as of a couple years ago. That's the town? Yes. Yeah,
really?
Seward.
Okay.
So.
My goodness.
I'm dampening the parade right now.
I went to a very, very small high school, and everybody knew everybody, right? We all knew everybody. I can't imagine even going to a smaller school than that. That must be great. Like, if you grow up in Alaska, even winter games, how many Olympians would you know in your lifetime? How many? I mean, I don't know. Maybe a couple. I don't know.
Maybe somebody that raced the Iditarod.
Is that it? Like, I mean, I don't know if the winter game athletes, if a couple come from Alaska or not. I don't know. But summer games from Alaska? How many can you name? How about this? For me, one.
that's just the one. Yeah.
Just the one that just happened yesterday. That's it. But, all right, to my credit, I don't really know where most of the Olympic athletes are from in the first place. So I remember when I was in New Hampshire, we had a swimmer, Jenny Thompson, was from Dover, New Hampshire, which is where I lived and went to school when I was finishing up my degree at the University of New Hampshire. I lived in Dover, and she was in the 92 games in Barcelona. And I was working at a restaurant at the time, and the owner of the restaurant went to the newspaper to put out an ad. This is actually a pretty cool story. I worked at a Chinese restaurant, and the owner of the Chinese restaurant, he wanted to put an ad. He didn't speak good English, so his son and daughter had to translate for him. And they had the advertising guy come in, and he wanted to give Jenny Thompson and her family a free meal if they came in to say congratulations on winning the gold. So the kids were like, Dad, Jenny Thompson's a superstar. Like, she's probably not even going to come back here, but we'll do it anyway. So they put the ad in and it said, congratulations, Jenny Thompson's, you know, whatever, come to the restaurant and get a free dinner with your family. And, you know, it was kind of a thing like, hey, you think Jenny Thompson's ever going to show up? They were like, no, she ain't going to show up. She's a gold medal winner. She's going to be she's going to live in like Stanford or something. Then one day her family and her came in for dinner out of nowhere. And get this. They didn't even know that there was a free meal. They just ate there. They just came in to eat there because they had in the past when she was in high school.
Food must have been pretty good.
It was really good. It was a really good restaurant. But they didn't even know. They went up to her and they said, by the way, did you see the ad? And the people were like, no. And they're like, this meal, our meal's on us. And they're like, really? Oh, because we just eat here all the time. And she's back in town and we this is where we come. So needless to say, the old man got the last laugh on everybody in that family. All of his sons and daughters and in-law, you know, son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws that told him, don't do it. She's not coming. Don't, you know, just say congratulations. Don't do the free meal thing. And he was like, no, I know. Sure enough, she came in. He had the last laugh.
That's why you always got to shoot your shot, right?
Completely. By the way, a couple of years ago, I went back to that restaurant. I mean, it's been 30 years since I worked there. And they remembered who I was. The kids are still running it. They remembered who I was. That was very sweet. But that was the only kind of tangle, that the only person I would know, like, their hometown, where they're from. And Lydia Jacoby, not sure where she's from. So, nevertheless, we'll talk Aaron Rodgers coming up next, and then Pete Futek, college football. By the way, the one note on the college football, Texas and Oklahoma have told the Big 12 that they are not going to renew media rights when that contract expires in 2025. It doesn't mean they're staying in the conference through 2025. This has been misinterpreted. They're saying that we're not going to renew, so don't count on us renewing. And oh, by the way, the penalty is about $75 to $80 million to get out of it early. We'll be paying that, since the SEC is dealing in a pool of billions. So for Texas and Oklahoma to pay a $75 to $80 million exit clause to get out of the conference, well worth it, depending on what they'll make joining the Southeastern Conference. But after the, so that's the indication. The next step for both schools is to officially state that they want to be a member of the SEC. Neither one has done that yet. There's just wait. There's a lot of speculation. Neither one has done that yet. But both of them saying, we want to be a member of the SEC. And then the SEC has to get 11 of the 14 teams to vote for that to extend an invitation. Now, Missouri and Texas A&M have both said, we're not going to do it. Right? But I think in the end, when push comes to shove, they're getting 11. And if they have to pressure one of those teams to switch, if because you need four. They'll need four to vote no. Texas A&M and Missouri are saying no because they're the newest members of the conference. But let's say Kentucky wants to be kind of a we're going to vote no too. And then South Carolina says, yeah, we us too. They're gonna wring both of those schools' necks. They're going to say, you are not going to spoil this just big old pot of gold. They're like, have you ever dreamed about having your own printing press of money, like where you just print it? That's what we're giving up if you vote no, if you tell these two schools they can't come to the SEC. What's wrong with you? Texas A&M and Missouri, they'll let them stand on their soapbox, right? I equated it to like a politician that stands up for a bill that has absolutely no chance of failing. It's going to plow right through, get signed by the governor or the president, right? But you're against it, but you get to be against it. You're like, I know this is going to happen. This is a freight train blasting through Capitol Hill. But I'm going to stand on the soapbox for 2 seconds. That they're going to let Texas A&M Missouri do that. No, we object to this. Why? Because why? We don't have to explain why. Just because. And then just let it be. And then Texas and Oklahoma just walks into the SEC and all hell breaks loose as other conferences start scrambling to try to capitalize on the new wild, wild west of team recruiting. All right, that's Pete Futek coming up in a little less than 20 minutes. But coming up next, we'll get more into the Aaron Rodgers story and what the Packers doing right and wrong in their concessions to the quarterback next on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Hey, have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop. To find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Pete Futek joining us in 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about college football, where we stand right now. He's got an interesting point in his daily cavalcade. That, look, if we're just doing this game for, and everybody's, you know, players are getting paid by name, image, and likeness, and there's no NCAA to sort of play, you know, put down arcane rules, and, you know, if it's all about money and making money, then why don't we just watch the NFL? Like, what's the point? Like, where's the appeal of college athletics? Where is it? Where could it be going? Right. So we'll talk to him about the ever-changing landscape of college sports. I kind of agree with him. There's a couple of things. Like, I'm glad the NCAA has sort of been diminished in power, but I hope one day I don't miss it. Right. I think name, image, and likeness is fantastic for players, but I hope I don't watch it, you know, just devolve into a, you know, professional athletic type of atmosphere. Right, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be players, star players, that are going to have agents that will call coaches to say, I'm not coming to practice. That's happening. That's going to happen. right? And you mean right now, think right off the top of your head, if you had name, image, and likeness in the last 10 years, name me the player that would have used name, image, and likeness to the maximum level that he could have and done everything to make sure he was on the same level at his position as those in the professional ranks. And if you're thinking Johnny Manziel, you are right on the money. Like, don't you think Johnny Manziel would have at some point been like, yeah, hey, I can't go to practice today. Just call coach. Tell him I can't go. Thanks. If you don't mind, call. Who was it? Kevin Sumlin at the time? Call Kevin Sumlin. Tell him, coach Sumlin, I can't. I got to do this thing. So, and then the agent gets on the phone and goes, yeah, Johnny can't make practice. What are you going to do? He'll play Saturday, but what are you going to do? We could be heading in that direction. All right, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are getting close to coming together and at least doing this dance for one more year. And Devontae Adams, him too. The Green Bay Packers are willing to make some concessions to the quarterback to make sure that they keep sort of the conversation open about the possibility of finishing it out in Green Bay. They didn't have to do this. They did it anyway, because, again, if you are the Packers, make it look like you're trying to appeal to the side of Aaron Rodgers where there's no reason for him to want to leave. If you say, hey, here's the deal, Aaron. If we void out that last year contract where we can't franchise tag you, and we're willing to review your situation with the team at the end of the season, and we're willing to fix the things that you think are wrong, and we adjust your contract so there's no lost income to you, but we can have more cap room to sort of make sure we put even a better team around you, would that be okay? And he's got to say, I guess, yeah. Like, the one thing is, it's really hard to do for most people is, you know, there's an old saying, anger is the devil's cocaine, right? It's addictive. There's an addictive nature to being angry. There's an even bigger addictiveness to being justifiably angry. That's really addictive. And that's hard to let go. Have you ever been wronged by somebody where it was absolutely clear that they wronged you and they did something wrong to you and you were very angry at it, but there was no quid pro quo? I mean, you didn't do anything, but you were screwed over, and you hold on to those things. Well, even if it's a loved one, you know, even if it's a parent, the kid, wife, husband, family member, coworker, best friend from high school. If you've been really hurt, you've been feeling like you've been really hurt, and everyone around you is telling you how wrong and screwed you are, It is hard to let that go. Even when that person comes back, it's not easy. It's a very difficult thing to just forget and just move on. The Packers are sort of counting on that with Rodgers, even if they feel like they're not at fault for what happened and why he's angry at them. Even if they feel like what he's being angry about is a little petty, they're willing to go to the Rodgers camp and say, okay, we know you're not happy with us, but here's how we want to make it better, because I think what you want and what we want are the same things. You want to win one more Super Bowl. You know that a quarterback's legacy is how many Super Bowls you win. You don't have to win seven like Tom Brady. You don't have to win four like Montana and Bradshaw. You don't have to win two like Peyton Manning. You have to win two. You have to win at least two. And Aaron Rodgers needs one more to be outside of the same group as like Brad Johnson, right? But he's not going to be Brad Johnson. He's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. But he wants two. And the Packers are like, we got a team. You saw it last year. We're very capable of winning this. You want to go somewhere else? Go somewhere else. But don't do it before you give us a spin one more time. And here's to show you our love. We're going to do all these things for you. In fact, the line that I have a little bit of a problem with, but hey, they were willing to give this concession, was mechanisms will be put in place to address his issues with the team. A vague line, but carries a lot of power. It means Rodgers can have an issue with anything, and there would be a avenue to correct it. Aaron Rodgers could say, I don't like the way the defense is doing this. And the team would have to go, we're going to listen to that, and maybe we'll figure out a way to make you happy with that. I don't like the way this is done, or this is done, or this communication's done, whatever it may be. And the Packers are willing to say, we will have that conversation with you and discuss ways to make it better. All of these concessions signal two things. One, the Packers are trying to create an environment where if he leaves, that is on him. He's leaving. We have done our part. We have done our mea culpa. We have come to him with heart in hand and said, here is how sorry we are. We're willing to give you these concessions. But if in the end he decides, I still want to go play for Denver, the Packers will trade him and say, we did everything we could. And that's one. But the second thing it signals is the Packers are also playing on Rodgers' ego in a way to sort of remind him that if you were to look around the landscape of the NFL right now, your best landing spot is right here. See, remember Tom Brady when he was wanting to leave the Patriots? What was the last thing he did as a New England Patriot? What was the last thing he did? He threw a pick six. He threw a pick six in the loss to the Titans in the playoffs. Okay? Brady wanted out for his own personal reasons, right? And Belichick, I think, and the Patriots, for the most part, except for Robert Kraft, who wanted him to stay, but I think Belichick was probably looking at another, you know, let's go in another direction as a team. Brady wasn't a fool, right? He looked around the landscape of the NFL and said, where would I best land? And he picked what he thought was a better landing spot than New England in all of the weapons that were in Tampa, weapons he didn't have in New England. Now, Aaron Rodgers has Devontae Adams, the best wide receiver in the game, the best. And I think the Packers are playing on the idea of, look how close you were to going to the Super Bowl. You were one home win away from going to the Super Bowl. Now, you want to go to Denver, you'll make the Broncos better. But when you look at that team from top to bottom, are they an Aaron Rodgers away from going to the Super Bowl? No. Anywhere else that needs a quarterback? No. Where? Who needs a quarterback like you that's built to win a Super Bowl? Who? Tell us who. Who? What team in the league is got a team ready to win a Super Bowl with a quarterback of your talent? Here? Right. Exactly. So they're playing a little bit on Rodgers' ego, right? You want that second Super Bowl and the best place around the 32 teams and the very small fraction of them that actually have an opening for QB right now that is capable of getting you there in the shortest amount of time because you're not getting any younger is Green Bay. So we give you the best chance to win and we're giving you all these concessions. We are giving you all of these things to make your life here better. So now the Packers are set up that if this doesn't work out in the end and he decides to leave, they've at least sold the Packer public that they did everything they possibly could to keep him. And if he leaves, he leaves. And he does his own thing. But it's not going to be like the way Brady left. Because when Brady left, you knew it was coming, but he didn't do it with bitterness and snide comments and, you know, anger. He just did it. He just said, you know, thank you, New England. Thank you for 20 years. I want to go do something else, if you don't mind. I hope you enjoy the trophies I won you. I hope you enjoy that I changed the image of your franchise forever. But I'm going to go do something else now. Thanks. It's not going to be the way Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay. He's going to leave and people are going to go, man, he was mad. He was really mad. And you could see it on everything he did. All right, Pete Futek's going to join us next. Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC. Name, image, and likeness. The possible expansion of the college football playoff to 12. It is the NCAA diminished in its authority and power. It has all been coming and coming fast for college football. How do you process it all? Pete Futek does a better job of that than anybody. We'll have him on next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. So many changes coming in college football, so many issues, so many things getting hit with almost on a daily basis. No one covers it better than Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing just fine. How you doing?
I'm good. Pete, I want to get big picture first, and then we'll get down to some of the nitty-gritty details of what all the changes happened. For a guy like you that covers this sport deeply and passionately for as long as you have, what has the last year or so meant to the sport for you, watching all of the possible changes and the changes that have come to college football?
Let's start with this. Last year at this exact time, I was probably doing my gajillionth radio interview of the week asking whether or not we'd have a season.
Right.
So the fact that we're, you know, like, you talk about a 180-degree turn. You go from just the no fun of being like, well, how are college sports going to survive? You know, forgetting the medical aspect of it. But like the sheer logistics and the revenue and all the different parts of what happens when you don't have football to pay for everything else, and is this the end of smaller schools playing football and all that, to now expansion, name, image, and likeness, the emphasis of the NCAA. You now have all these things that in the sports progressive world, it should have happened a whole long time ago, and people yelled and screamed about. And you know what? It's all okay. There's still going to be college football. You know, they're still going to kick the ball off. You're still going to watch. But now that it's here, now that this is all happening, I'm really curious to see what happens if this really does start to look, like a more of a mini professional league.
Yeah.
Or actually a big professional league. But just another professional league. And the problem with that becomes, all right, well, if that's what it is, why would we not want to just sit and watch the NFL with better players, better coaches, and a better brand of football if there's not that charm? And at least the lie that, it's all amateur athletics and all that. But it'll be interesting to see if the sport gets turned off or not. For some people, because of that.
That's a great point, because when you talk about Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC and it's 16 teams, and people have tossed around the idea of, well, they should do four divisions of four. If we're talking about players making a lot of money on the field and sort of the largeness of SEC football, how is it different from the AFC or the NFC?
It's not as good.
Yeah.
And look, I love college football. I mean, you're not losing me, obviously. I love the NFL. To me, because this is what I do, and obviously I love college football, but I always kind of see, Sundays as my day off from, I get to watch, NFL stuff, and it's just such another level, and the NFL is so big and so good. Okay, so let's say Alabama's Bryce Young is, you do know that the Alabama quarterback's pulling in $2 million a year, and, in endorsements, and he's going against the Texas quarterback who's pulling in, X amount of dollars. It kind of takes a little bit of that luster away. Now, first of all, they absolutely deserve the money. I mean,
sure.
They absolutely deserve to get whatever they get. I'm all 100% for it. It just kind of changes the overall dynamic. And where this might quickly turn people off is the idea that, okay, what happens? Look at Auburn, for example. And Bo Nix gets a deal with a sweet tea company. What if TJ Finley wins the starting quarterback job? Does an agent come up and be like, hey, Auburn, you need to start my guy or else we're getting out of here, because you have, open free agency in college football now. So with the transfer portal. So this could get sticky very quick. But as we've seen, every time there's a change and every time that someone says, oh, this is it, this is when, people get rid of college football and don't like it anymore. Everyone just loves it more. It's okay. And it keeps going on.
You made a point in one of your columns about name, image, and likeness that I thought was lost on a lot of people, which is, it is great that these athletes are getting money and getting paid, but the pie that people fought to give the share to, that still remains within the institutions. They don't get a share of that. Do you think there's a day coming where they'll go after that as well?
Well, they have to be able to unionize. And that's the thing about this. And it's funny, I had a discussion about this the other day with a couple friends of mine, where we can't decide, as much as we know the people who are involved and as much as we know the NCAA, whether they just sort of somehow lucked their way into this, or if there was just a long game thing that made them figure out how to make this happen. But think about this from an NCAA standpoint. So all the players are getting money in revenue and benefits, then the NCAA and the schools don't have to pay anything for it. So there's kind of a misnomer out there that, like, especially by a lot of people outside of sports, is thinking, oh, well, the colleges are paying players now. No, that's actually not happening. Everybody else is paying the players except the colleges. The athletic departments get to keep all their money. And the player, it's sort of a natural selection thing with who gets paid. Like, that kind of eliminates the problem of how do you pay, you know, a Spencer Rattler or the Alabama starting quarterback or the backup punter for Eastern Michigan? And what do you do with Title IX and having to, you know, pay equal amounts to the women athletes and all the other sticky parts that people always freak out about? Well, name, image, and likeness solves that.
Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. This was one of those stories that I'm like, I'm not surprised because I feel like this was coming. I felt like we've done this dance before, but at the same time, the swiftness of it seems to be catching a few people off guard. What do you make of this, and how big of a story is this, and how big of a deal will it be, if any?
It's obviously a huge deal because it's Texas and Oklahoma. And from a business side, look, Texas is the richest athletic department in college sports. It is the biggest business entity there is. For one college, and Oklahoma has won six straight Big 12 titles. So it gets very, very, very big in terms of what the SEC is going to try to do to ramp up its footprint and its reach. The problem that they have to make sure that they don't run into is remembering that, again, it's not the NFL. You know, if you're living in Chicago, you care about your fantasy guys in Miami. You care about the bet you made on Seattle. You care about, you know, the Rams playing. It's the late game and it's a Sunday afternoon and you're going to watch. It's not the same in college. The Big Ten doesn't care about the SEC. Pac-12 fans don't care about the SEC. The Big 12 fans are going to despise the SEC because they took their guide. Like, and so you're basically creating this really great regional bubble where you're going to have this one part of the country that's going to love the SEC that much more because, you know, that's their life there. And, you know, it's great. It's the SEC so much fun. But in the absence of pro teams in so many of these SEC markets outside of obviously Atlanta, it's just going to take on that much more of a big feel. But they can't lose the rest of college football. You can only expand so much. You can only make so much money off of one group. But if you want to expand, you still need a viable Pac-12. You still need a good Big Ten. You can't just go take everybody else. So I'm kind of against the idea that this thought that, oh, well, it's going to be world domination time. The SEC is going to go after Michigan and Oklahoma and USC and UCLA and all that. I think that they go do this, and then it kind of stops from there for them, and then we see how the other conferences react.
How do you think the other conferences react? The big fish, obviously, would be Notre Dame if the ACC is pulling them. The Big Ten, would Notre Dame be interested in being part of somebody else's expansion plans?
Sure, to a point. I don't think there's necessarily going to be a flurry right out of the gate. The thing about this is, no matter what, the Big Ten is going to be fine. The Big Ten is still the biggest, baddest conference out there when it comes to reach, footprint, alumni base, revenue, the TV deal that they have, the Big Ten network. They're still bigger than the SEC. And even if that changes, then the Big Ten would be a close number two to the SEC. And then you have like 50 miles down. And then you have the Pac-12 deals, and then you have another, you know, 20 miles down, and then you get to the Big 12, and then the ACC deal is just a disaster. So the problem with expanding is, where do you go if you're the Big Ten? Because the ACC has media rights to 2036. So trying to pry away North Carolina, which is actually the right program that the Big Ten should go after and kind of grab, is hard. You can't just go do that without getting through a whole lot of legal red tape. Same thing for, like, if the SEC said, look, we're just going to, you know, lock down the southeast part of the country. We're going to get Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech, and Clemson. And just we're going to have our Super League and, you know, screw everybody else. It's kind of hard to do. If you're the Pac-12, I would think you start looking at the Big 12 teams and you say, what kind of deal can we make? Or you combine forces with the remaining eight Big 12 and say, let's create our own, like, 20-team thing here. Because if you're the Pac-12, you've got to expand into other time zones to get out of the Pacific time zone so people can be awake when your games are going on. When you're the Big 12, you've got to do something to expand because you're losing your two anchor tenants in the mall. And when you're the ACC, it's got to be all hands on deck because you know that because of your really awful deal where every school is making roughly 20 to 25 million less a year than they are in the SEC and the Big Ten, that people are going to come, they're going to come after your schools. And then on the trickle down effect, you see that yesterday was Mountain West coming out saying, yeah, we saw what was coming. All right, everyone batten down, circle the wagons. We're going to try to figure this one out. Because you know that if you're like the Pac-12, San Diego State seems like a no-brainer. I mean, that's,
yeah, right.
You know, you kind of tie it up between L.A. and Tucson and Phoenix, and certainly they're going to start looking at Mountain West teams.
Pete Fewtek, collegefootballnews.com. Always great having you on. Always good stuff you provide on a daily basis. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. You have a great one.
You too. Again, on our Progressive guest line, quote, buy, and save on home insurance or Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, there are four things that has changed. The big changes coming into this season, the big ones, the possible expansion of the playoff, the sort of the lessening of the power of the NCAA as an authoritative figure, name, image, and likeness, and the possibility of the SEC expanding. All of them seem on the level. There's a lot of good in all four of them, but there might be one that's problematic. I'll tell you what I think next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue Wake Up Call. Thanks to Pete Fewtek joins us. A lot of things to digest. All right, I said there are four things that are changing in the landscape of college football. Now, some are on the horizon and been talked about and are not going to be immediate, but some are immediate. One, you know, Texas, Oklahoma joining the SEC. That's not happening tomorrow, but that will happen down the line. The possible expansion to 12 team playoff, that's not happening tomorrow, but it could happen down the line. Name, image, and likeness, though, is real. It's here today. And the sort of dissolvement of the NCAA as a power institution, that's happening right now as well. Of those four things, which is problematic or could be problematic for college football? Now, first of all, let me say, I think all of them are good things. I've always had a problem with the NCAA as a power institution. I think if your job was investigating whether or not a student athlete got a ham sandwich from a coach, you need to find another profession. I think that's ridiculous. If your job was to go find out if a student athlete got a ride from a coach in a snowstorm, you need to find another job. Now, I know they went after bigger things. I get it. But, you know, that was basically the power structure of the NCAA, was putting down penalties on really stupid stuff. And also, name, image, and likeness is important because these kids were being exploited for their name and image, and now they get to make some money off it. So I'm very happy that that student athletes get to, you know, market themselves and have a little small business. And, you know, those sad stories of like this quarterback was involved in this for raising money for a woman with cancer, and the NCAA told him he had to stop. You know, stupid. Expansion of the college football playoff. People have been calling for it for years. If it happens, great, whatever. These are all kind of good things. And Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, I don't know if that's a good thing. It's just a thing. But I think the one thing that could be problematic for college football, let's just stay in college football because it does affect all the other sports, but just in the college football world, name, image, and likeness. And here's why. There's two reasons. One, I think it is going to create a problematic situation for coaches. Now, believe me when I say tough, you'll have to deal with it. But I do think that you're going to see star players really know their value and realize where their value really is. You know, if you're a Heisman Trophy level player, right, you're going to command a lot of value in that local community. And the coach isn't going to be able to just bench you without hearing about it from very important people who have very significant amounts of money that they put into the institutions. And not everybody is Nick Saban that can withstand that kind of storm. Right. There are coaches that can tell a lot of sponsors, get out of my office. But there are plenty of coaches where that is never, ever, ever going to come out of their mouth. The second thing that's a problematic for name, image, and likeness is something that we talked about with Pete, which is the misconception by the public that these athletes are being paid by the universities. It's an easy line to blur, and if you're just kind of casually following college sports, it is easy to think that now this means that the institutions are cutting checks, and they're not cutting checks. And the problem that we had for years and years and years about athletes getting paid still exists. And that is, these schools are making a ton of money off of these athletes. And it doesn't matter what athletic endeavor it is. If they're making money, if your school is a big golf program and you're making money off that, you're making money off of that, right? It doesn't always have to be football and men and women's basketball. But only a certain number of athletes are going to be able to capitalize on name, image, and likeness locally. The problem is still, how do you divvy up the pie to student athletes that aren't getting millions of dollars? That aren't, you know, there's only so much advertising marketing money in a college town. What do you do with a guy that was instrumental on the team, but he's not a star of the team? He's still not going to get a cut of a piece of a pie he might actually deserve. All right, Jake Asman Show is coming up next, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.